hello.
Oh, hello. You want to do dueling banjos right out of the gate?
No, too early?
No, not for me. You know that.
I mean, I'm just saying.
New year, new us.
New year, same us.
Right.
Because we don't change. We're always the same, Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What's been up, dude?
Oh, man. What is it? What is it up, buddy? It's been a new year. Crazy year so far.
Yeah.
Which is exciting. Yeah, it's exciting.
That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. Get your mouth harp going?
Yeah, man. I was watching some YouTube and playing my mouth harp right before we started.
Nice.
Yeah. Now I'm trying to settle in. I hope I sound okay. I redid my computer last night because I was bored.
Uh-oh.
No, I do it every few months. I deleted everything and reinstalled. So, yes. So,
you sound good.
I think everything's working. We'll find out.
You sound good.
Thanks, man. That's what she said.
Yeah. Oh.
I think it works. I did a Valiant Central interview earlier today.
Nice.
And there's a file. I don't know if there's any audio in it because I didn't check it.
Oh, no.
But there is definitely a file.
There is something that is labeled.
There is something labeled with that conversation.
Okay.
But I don't know if it's an actual conversation. Anyway, it doesn't matter. What are you up to?
Oh, my.
Yeah, that much, huh?
I have something that I wanted to share with you. Don't know if you've read anything on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it caught my fancy last Sunday. The wife was we're watching the NFL playoff games.
Sure.
And of course she's absolutely bored, so she starts flipping through her her timelines, just looking for articles and news stories that she can read. And she came across one that she read the title, the headline to me, and I don't know if you've encountered this story yet?
Ooh, this sounds good. Sounds juicy.
But, let me just read a quick little bit, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is for real. This is no April Fool's. It's not April 1st.
Oh, this is going to be epic. All right, go ahead.
It is. Okay, let me preface it first. You know, in the 70s, when people did plaster casts?
Yes.
And then in, the 90s, 2000s, porn stars would make their vaginas into molds so horny dudes can have sex with porn stars? I don't know, but, you know, they were branded. They were a thing. That was like the 2000s, and I'm sure it's still going on now.
I believe it. I don't know. I don't know what porn is. Continue.
Okay, well, you know, now all of a sudden you can get a real doll that looks like a porn star or whatever. Along the same lines, this is the new scoop. Gwyneth Paltrow is shocking fans with her latest product that is being sold on her Goop online shop. The Oscar-winning actress is selling a $75 candle that is called, quote-unquote, the smells like my vagina. The Goop website said, quote unquote, this candle started as a joke between perfumer Douglas Little and Gwyneth Paltrow. The two were working on a fragrance and she blurted out, this smells like my vagina, but evolved into a funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautiful, unexpected scent that turned out to be a candle. So my wife read, Gwyneth Paltrow is putting out a candle that smells like her vagina. And my instant response was, oh, fuck Gwyneth Paltrow. Oh, my God.
Isn't Goop a cult or something?
Well, hey, she's going to have a Goop-centric show that is a Netflix original coming out, I believe, in a month or 2 months.
Oh, is that what it is? I thought it was like a network, so it's just a show. Okay.
Oh, no, it's like her whole – that's her brand. She can go onto her website. She sells products. She does endorsements. She does, you know, sells all kinds of different items on Goop, as well as I think she wants to make it into a, like a lifestyle brand.
Mm. So let me say this, because if I don't say this joke, then the listener is going to be disappointed.
Very disappointed.
Because after all, this is the Nerd Legion with Nick and Martin. So if she sells this $75 candle that smells like vagina, is Goop the sound that her vagina makes? Just curious, Nick.
Well, hey, you can ring that bell, because if you don't title this episode Vagina Candle, you're missing out. You're missing out on some sweet SEO juice.
This episode smells like my nutsack. That's flowers, by the way. Yeah. It smells like flowers.
So that sort of spurred me, and that's why I was dying to record on Sunday, because I'm like, oh, I have that, like, that is loaded in the holster. Holy heck, I want to share that little tidbit.
That's too much, man. I can't handle Gwyneth Paltrow.
I can't handle Gwyneth Paltrow, period. And that's way too much information.
Yeah. So is that why she's barely in the Marvel stuff anymore? Because she's fucking crazy?
I think she has this Goop thing.
She just likes to Goop.
I'm sure I would love to hear what Chris Martin had to say about that.
Oh, they were married. Well, he was married to Madonna, wasn't he?
Gwyneth Paltrow. I don't know about Madonna.
I could have sworn he was also married to Madonna. But maybe not. Let's look this up right now. DuckDuckGo! You failed me, DuckDuckGo. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was right. Gwyneth Paltrow and Madonna feuding over Coldplay's Chris Martin. That's from 2011.
Well, feuding over and being married to are two different things.
Oh, they just dated. Okay, whatever.
There you go.
Madonna's crazy, too. Maybe Chris Martin just likes the crazy.
Well, hey. You like what you like.
I mean, I can relate. I think every woman I've ever dated was fucking crazy. Including my wife.
Crazy about you.
Oh, I mean, who wouldn't be? This epic beard I've got going on.
Of course.
I look like a Ewok right now.
Little baby Ewok.
A little baby Ewok. See, there's the new craze for Disney. Contact me, Disney.
Mm-hmm.
I will be your baby Ewok. Oh, man, good. That's also a good episode title.
Yeah, I'll let you decide whether or not vagina will get flagged on the iTunage.
You know, I think vagina would, but if I put Goop in the title, then we get double the SEO juice.
I don't know if I would use Goop.
No? Is it trademarked? Is Gwyneth Paltrow going to take this episode off iTunes?
Hell yeah, it's trademarked. Are you kidding me? She has a team of lawyers around her. But baby Ewok's good.
I mean, Disney's got a lot of lawyers too, bro.
That's all right.
We can take them. Fuck those guys.
Let's go after some of that baby Yoda juice. Did you see that a lot of Star Wars fans are now going into both Disney's with 3D models of baby Yoda that they can put into like backpacks so it looks like they're carrying baby Yoda?
Oh, why am I not surprised?
I think it's brilliant. Dude, a 3D printer that does that somebody like set that up to do? Way to go. Bravo. You know, hey, if Disney can't give you baby Yoda and you want baby Yoda, hey, you could be first to market. What the hell? I love it.
I mean, I guess.
Well,
I guess.
I, you know, me and laser swords, I have no interest, but I'm like, wow, they're very ingenious. Way to go.
You know, those Star Wars folks, they're pretty smart.
Yeah, for sure.
They're pretty smart. No, I had not heard of that, but it makes sense, because for some Disney reason, Disney doesn't want to make money on Baby Yoda, so they don't, like, sell merchandise.
Do you think that's the case, or do you think that they just assumed, because you see a lot of Mandalorian stuff hitting now, do you think that they just assumed everybody would be after, like, the Mandalorian, the Boba Fett-looking people? You know what I'm saying? And Baby Yoda is just, they didn't expect that to be a craze, which I don't see how they couldn't have predicted that.
Yeah, I was going to say, how would they not know that?
Right.
People love cute little things because they're stupid.
Well, come on.
I mean, look at cat videos.
Yeah, I love cat videos. Let's look at them.
No, that's not.
Let's watch YouTube. Let's watch YouTube this whole entire episode. So, dumb dog and cat videos. Let's go.
My niece and nephews were over this weekend, and all they did with Zoe was watch goddamn cat videos.
Yeah.
That's all they did. And run around.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Talking about cat videos.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. I don't care for cat videos because I'm a grumpy old man.
I like the cat videos where the cat is not a domesticated cat.
Ooh, a feral cat.
No. It's a house cat, but it acts like it's a leopard.
Ooh.
Like, there's a gigantic dog, and that cat doesn't give a shit, because that cat's going to smack it the hell out of that big dog. Who cares? Right. I'm the big dog around here.
So I did see some videos of cats, like, punching dogs in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who would win in a fight if they were the same size?
It doesn't matter. The cat, even being the size that it is going to win that fight, because dogs are too dumb. Most dogs are too dumb.
Well, that's true. But not the dog. What if it was a cat, let's say a 6-foot cat,
okay,
and a kangaroo?
Well, then I would be looking at a lion or a tiger, and that lion or tiger's taking out that kangaroo every time.
Well, I mean, they can't, like, jump on them or rip their jaws off or whatever the hell they do. This is, like, strictly a boxing match.
Do they have to be up on only two of their legs? And do they have to wear boxing gloves?
They walk like normal. So kangaroo would be on two, and then the cat would be on all fours. But the cats can get on two legs.
I still think the cat every time.
You think so?
Because the cat's like two steps away from being that cheetah.
But they never
Or that lion.
But they never had like cat boxing leagues.
Ah.
You know what I mean? They had kangaroo boxing leagues.
What feral kangaroo videos have you seen? Sure, listen. You see, every once in a while, you'll see a kangaroo whip around and smack something with its tail or hit it with its hind leg. And granted, hey, it's hitting it like a horse hit somebody with its hind leg. That's dangerous as hell. But I'm still going to put money on a cat.
Listen, don't you watch cartoons? Have you never seen boxing kangaroos?
Yes, of course.
Mm. Oh, man, they have – holy shit. See, all this talk about Russia meddling with the election, Russia has actual boxers boxing kangaroos.
Smart.
This video has 26 million views. Now I want to see this. If I play this, will it play audio? Let's find out.
What are you doing?
I want to see this
video. I mean, do you want to start eating food while you're watching this thing?
No, see, I was good. I ate right before we started recording.
Oh, and now you want to watch a YouTube video. Well, stop madness.
Look, I can multitask, okay?
No.
Yeah, I want to see this kangaroo fight this Russian guy.
Dang. Put a bookmark in it. Watch it later.
Dude, that dude's going to get effed up.
Yeah, a kangaroo against any animal against a person, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be the animal.
Oh, damn! This is like a Muay Thai boxing kangaroo. He just kicked the shit out of that guy.
Sure.
All right, this is my new favorite video. Oh, see, the kangaroo can't get knocked down. Oh, got him! Bam! Kick in the groin. You out, bro. So the kangaroos use their tails as like a third leg. So he can't get knocked down.
Yeah, of course.
Kangaroos are smart. People are stupid.
Mm-hmm.
God, I wish this was a YouTube show now. Then we could do picture in picture. Oh, man. This kangaroo is kicking the shit out of this guy. Wow. I'm putting that in the show notes. Oh, the ref's angry at him. Ha! He punched the ref. Whew. Kangaroos, man. They're probably all dying from, Australia's on fire.
Yeah.
The whole country.
If only we had a Twitch Lifetime station that we could be playing.
Lifetime.
Yeah, a lifestyle, sorry.
Oh, we could do that. I have a Twitch API key. You want to start streaming on Twitch, Nick?
Well, then we're only inches away from streaming on YouTube, so.
Nah, YouTube, Schmootube, that's for losers. Twitch is where it's at.
We could make money on it.
Yeah, I guess. Because we do this show for money.
It seems like every time you look at Twitch, unless you're a 20-something-year-old young lady with a fantastic artificial boob job, it's really bizarre when you look at their content and then you look at how many people are following them, and it's like 45 million.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, there are some lonely dudes out there.
Look, we can do Nerd Legion Deep Fake Edition.
Oh.
Where we CGI ourselves to look like giant boobed women. Or we can order one of those porn star statue things and crawl up inside them and then like use them as mannequins.
Now you're just getting freaky.
Hey, I'm just saying. Hey, since you're talking about big boob women, did you watch the Morbius trailer?
Yep.
Yeah? What'd you think? I'm curious. Because let me tell you, this trailer's been out for 2 days.
Yep.
I have heard none of her friends talk about it.
Before I even remarked my two cents, Julie, the cruise director, said, is Marvel going for every horror-type movie right now? Are they going after the DC aesthetic, being dark and whatnot? And I'm just like, yeah, I have no idea what the hell Marvel's doing, because everything looks freaking dark. I like Jared Leto. I have faith. I like Taskmaster. Bring that on. Hell yeah.
Mm.
But some of the parts I'm just like, because I know where that story's going. Julie, the cruise director, has no clue where that story's going.
Yeah.
I have faith. I thought it looked good at the end. I was like, oh, okay, that's, yeah. That's,
oh, like when they show them?
Yeah.
Mm. But yeah, I guess.
I don't, is that going to be the next Spider-Man movie?
Yes.
Or is that going to be the minor hit that Venom was? I don't know.
No, it's the next Spider-Man movie. Oh, you mean in terms of popularity?
Yeah.
Well, Venom did a shit ton of money, dude, even though everyone hated it, apparently.
Well, obviously they didn't hate it that much, because isn't there a sequel coming?
There sure is.
Yeah.
There sure is. It looks interesting, man. I don't know. I don't know what to think about this yet.
But Jared Leto, he doesn't grab film roles left and right. I mean, he's sort of choosy. So something, be something there. There has to be.
Well,
hold on. Did I just say that Taskmaster was in Morbius?
Taskmaster is in...
He's in Black Widow.
Black Widow. Oh, God, yeah. Yes.
And he looks... That looks darn exciting.
That looks dope.
Yeah.
I'm so glad I got my Taskmaster first appearance before this shit came out.
Heck yeah.
I don't even know if it's worth anything right now. But,
just wait a little bit.
Who cares? I don't buy comics to make money.
But that looks like a Marvel movie. Where the other one doesn't look like a Marvel movie. But that's okay. Hey, different strokes for different folks.
Maybe Jared Leto's angry that he's not the Joker anymore.
Eh, whatever.
No?
I think he's pretty picky. That's why something has to be there that we're just not seeing.
I don't know, man. I hope so.
Yeah, same here.
I mean, it looks fine, but I'm not like overly excited about it. You know what I mean?
It's one. I'm going to go against our rule, and I have to wait and see the next trailer.
Yeah.
Usually, I avoid those trailers, but I think I have to wait and see.
Yep. Yeah, I was thinking about that with the new Bloodshot trailer too.
Because
I thought the first one looked good, but I like the second trailer better.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah.
Did you see the second trailer?
When did that come out?
Yesterday, I think.
No.
Oh.
No.
Yeah, there's a lot of special effects with Vin Diesel getting his face blown off and it reconstituting.
Yeah, sure.
Like several times.
Oh, I'm sure.
Look, I was not talking to you.
What does she have to say about the Bloodshot trailer?
That's okay. I forgive you.
You don't want to ask her what she thought of the trailer?
She's getting pretty good at this thing. She said something. She's like, I don't recognize that. And then when I said whatever I said, she replied, oh, sorry, I thought I heard my name. And then I said, it's okay, I forgive you. She said, thank you.
Did you rename Alexa to Vin Diesel? Maybe that was the confusion.
No, I did not.
Ah.
I did not.
But shockingly, the Black Widow trailer, Scarlett Johansson, not really anything I would be writing home about regarding Black Widow. And this was the first time I'm like, oh, Black Widow. Okay, sign me up. Yeah. And I think it's the cast of characters that are around her. that make it interesting.
I'm going to see that just for Taskmaster.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care about Black Widow.
Agreed.
Yeah, if everything else. That looks awesome. And what's the dude? The red... Oh, God. The guy from Stranger Things.
Yeah, Red Star or something?
Yeah, something like that. He looks good.
Yeah. He looks like he's right out of that, what is it, Matt Fraction run?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Anyways, yeah, looks good. Looks good. Oh. I'm down for that. I even watched the special featurette.
Oh.
Where they interview people that work on the movie and stuff, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. That's not a movie, is it? Oh, it is a movie. Is it a movie? That's a TV show.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Black Widow.
Is it a TV show?
I thought it was a Disney Plus TV show.
I don't know.
Man, we're duck-duck-going the shit out of stuff tonight. Black Widow, Disney Plus. Let's just do it that way. Oh, it's a Disney movie. Okay.
Aha.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right, fair enough. Good. My bad.
All right.
I did see, they're not showing anything yet, but I saw some stuff about the Eternals movie, and I'm interested in that.
Is that a movie or a Disney Plus thing?
It's a movie. It's like one of the big ones for the next phase.
Ah, okay.
It's got Angelina Jolie. What's the guy? Oh, God, the Indian guy. I can't remember his name. From Silicon Valley. Wait, is it that guy? Yeah, it's
Kumail Nanjiani?
That's it. Yeah, that's it.
That why he got so gacked?
Dude, this is so funny. All right, so that show just finished a couple weeks ago. Fantastic finale, by the way. I don't know if you've ever watched Silicon Valley.
Nope.
It is worth getting HBO just for that show.
The wife loves it. I just have never watched it.
Oh, my God. It's hilarious. Anyways, so this last season came on, and I was like, he looks different. And then like three episodes in, I'm like, I figured it out. He's really fucking buff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is happening? And then so this last week, I'm reading this article, and they're talking about him in this movie, and I'm like, that's why he's so freaking jacked. He's going to be in a Marvel movie.
Yep. Yeah. I was wondering why he got that way. But, hey, he wants to be a superhero. What the heck?
I mean, who wouldn't want to be a superhero?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to be a superhero. That's why I stare at my hand. My superpower is seeing through my hand.
Kit Harington is in the Eternals?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yep.
Hey, guess what? Hollywood wants to make money, and they've realized that superhero movies make money.
Yep, they sure do. They sure do. It feels like we haven't had a whole lot of that lately, though, right? What was the last, like, superhero movie? Was there one after Endgame? Oh, yeah, that's right. The Spider-Man came after Endgame.
Ah, okay, yeah.
But that was the last one.
They're coming out so fast and furious, it's hard to keep up.
No, that's a different franchise, Nick.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Starring Vin Diesel.
Starring Bloodshot.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. We'll see. Yeah, I got a little worried when they moved the release date for Bloodshot.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I was like, why the fuck are you moving the release date? But I don't think there's anything going on like that week either, so it made sense.
They decided to put special effects in it?
I mean, maybe they added more special effects. Who knows?
Maybe. They reconstructed Vin Diesel's face two more times. Guys, he has nanites in his... Don't he understand yet? We're going to do it like four more times. See, he has nanites in his... See? Hold on. Let me do it one more time. Look. Shoot off half his face. Look, he has nanites. Rebuild him.
Look, here's what I'm going to say about the Bloodshot movie. Okay, I'm not expecting this to be like, oh my God, yes. But I think it'll be a fun movie to watch. And that's why I'm going to go see it.
Is it going to be riding the coattails of all the other superhero films, or will it differentiate itself enough to be like, oh, that was pretty cool? For people that don't read the comics.
Mm. That is a good question. I mean, Vin Diesel's got a fan base, you know what I mean? Like, those people are going to go see it.
For sure.
Right? I mean, it might only make, like, $50 million, but that's probably, like, more than enough for that kind of movie. I don't think the budget was very big on it anyway. I mean, they were filming in, like, South Africa. How much could that cost?
Or is this just something that they'll put out in theaters, hopefully make the 50 like you're talking, but their end goal is the aftermarket?
Mm.
I don't know. I'm just asking.
Mm. You mean like everyone owning like Vin Diesel toys?
Yeah.
Mm. Look, I don't want Vin Diesel toys.
Hey, I just hope he got the same deal that like Robert Downey Jr. did. You know, get the points on the back end. Risk it.
Yeah, hell yeah. That's where the money's at.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah, that's where the money's at. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. But now it's in March, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw something else that was good, but I can't remember what it was, so I can't talk about it. See how that goes? Magic.
Huh.
Maybe it was a movie. What have I watched? I feel like the last week has just been non-existent. I feel like I've time traveled a week.
Mm.
When was the last time? We talked like last Wednesday, right? That was the last time we talked? Yeah, I feel like nothing has happened in my life. I feel like we just finished recording. I woke up, I went to work, I came home, and now we're chatting again, like the next day.
Wow, I don't know if that's good or bad.
I don't either.
Maybe you're stepping through doorways of perception.
Maybe I figured out how to time travel.
Mm-hmm.
Dun, dun, dun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's possible. Maybe not.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe.
I did watch an awesome video from Vice.
Mm.
The Rise and Rise of Psychedelics.
Oh, my.
High Society, Season 1, Episode 1. It was awesome. It was really good. There's some fucking weirdos in there. But it was very interesting, and it tackles both sides. You know what I mean? Like, they talked with, like, UK DEA agents, whatever they're called in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And those people are fucking weird. They're like, oh, we can't touch the stuff. We might die. I'm like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? It's like today. So I'm at work, right? And I get a random text from Reagan. And she's like, what religion did you say you were? And I'm thinking, like, that's a fucking random ass question. And I'm like, I'm not any religion. I was like, I guess, like, I'm closer to this than this. But, like, I don't identify with a religion. And she asked me some other question, and I made up some term, like, on the spot. I was like, I'm a non-dual polysolipsist, which is not a thing. I literally made that up on the spot. There is solipsist, but no such thing as polysolipsist. And she's like, okay, hang on. And then she texts me, like, 20 minutes later. She's like, okay, Rebecca wanted to know. That's her best friend.
Uh-huh.
And
You say you're non-binary? That, like, I don't want to be put in a box. Don't put me in a box. How dare you?
I mean, like, non-dual is, like, the non-binary of beliefs.
She doesn't want you to stereotype her.
Right.
So
it'd
be great if you could just turn that around on her at any chance you get.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, like, what this girl is, but I know her parents are, like, really strict Baptists. And I was like, just make sure you word it correctly, because I don't need her to tell me I'm going to go to hell or something.
And you just gave the parents, obviously they're going to do research. You just gave the parents a research topic that will take about 45 minutes for them to even wrap their head around, which is great.
45 minutes, said, it'll probably take them longer.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But I'm giving them a little credit.
Yeah, sure. Don't give them too much credit.
You could have just said that you worship the House of Morrison.
I should have just said Hail Satan.
No, you can't say that.
Why?
You could have said that you belong to the Church of John Coltrane.
The Church of Scientology.
No, good God. I'm talking about a real religion. The Church of John Coltrane.
I was listening to this podcast. I don't get people. Right, like
No, not at all.
For sure. Oh, remind me to come back to Psychopath in a second, because this is funny. I don't get people though, because like they were talking about Scientology and something else. I can't remember. Oh, Jehovah's Witness? No, Mormons. Maybe Mormons. And so they're going through like the beliefs, and like they did a series on like both of these religions, right? And I'm listening to it, and I'm like, this is, like, really good sci-fi, you know what I mean? But, like, how could you just, like, base your life on it? You know what I mean? Like, this is not, if you are a Scientologist, My apologies. My name is Ronnie Barron. You can find me in Missouri. Okay, that's where I live. Thanks.
Reading Dianetics.
Yes, Reading Dianetics. No, you can't do that if you're not a member of a church. They'll come after you. Anyways, but like, you know what I mean? Like, people believe weird shit. And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm sure people think that what I believe in is weird shit. But, like, there's some weird shit. You know what I mean? Like, the whole Xenu thing. He just, like, throws a bunch of people in a volcano and they, like, blow up and now they're, like, spirits forever.
Mm.
I don't know. It just sounds weird, man. And, I mean, Hubbard was a sci-fi writer, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it makes sense as a sci-fi story.
Yeah.
But then, like, you hear all the stuff about, like, how he turned it into a religion. Because it didn't start off that way. It started off as, like, a self-help thing for mental illness. And then, like, there were some legal troubles, and he lost the name Dianetics. So, like, when he – like, he lost everything. He went bankrupt. And he just so happened to have this one guy that followed Dianetics that was, like, filthy rich out in Texas or somewhere. And maybe it wasn't Texas. Maybe it was Florida, and that's why they're in Florida now. It doesn't matter. And so he, like, gave him all this money to, like, get his life together. Because he had to flee the country. Like, he kidnapped his kid, so, like, his wife's looking for him. And it seems weird that, like, how do you accept that as just normal, right? If you're, like, in this group.
I don't know. I like that aspect of it, or of any religion.
Hmm.
There is a belief and faith part to any religion. So who the hell cares? All right, what religion are you going to take up? And this is the sci-fi author version of religion. Three choices.
Mm-hmm.
Edgar Rice Burroughs, the religion of Edgar Rice Burroughs, the religion of Philip K. Dick, the religion of Piers Anthony.
I will go with Philip K. Dick.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's just far enough into the future that you can believe it might happen down the road, like any good religion?
Well, no. For one, I really like Philip K. Dick as a writer, right? I think he's done some really good work. Philip K. Dick had this, like, weird, like, really weird thing. What was his book called? I think it was called The Red Book. Because I think it was the same name as Carl Jung's book.
Yeah, we talked about that.
That's right. We did talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And he had this whole, like, I don't want to say existential crisis, but, like, he was hallucinating, like, 24/7, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's any crisis there. That is just somebody who's living his full life.
He had a breakdown, right? Like, a severe mental breakdown.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, like, what would that be? Is that schizophrenia when you see stuff? No, that's, you think you're being followed. I don't know, whatever that is. Like, maybe he had one of those.
Like hallucinations.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's what he based a lot of stuff on.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, out of that came the Valis trilogy, which is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised nobody's turned it. Actually, there is a movie of part one of the Valis trilogy that is fucking terrible. Don't watch it. It's like a D-list movie. I'm sure it was just like a bunch of like film students were like, this story's awesome. Let's make a movie. And so they made a movie. They do tackle the topics correctly, but like it was made on like $10. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when you have like an orbiting satellite, like beaming alien knowledge into Earth and like really weird stuff, you can't do that on like a $10 budget. Even with the mass suspension of disbelief. But, you know, like, somebody could have made a religion of a Valis.
Sure.
Nobody did. Because it's a fucking sci-fi story. And I see what you mean about, like, there's some, like, suspension of disbelief with all religions, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do, like, firmly believe that there are some belief systems, particularly, like, older ones, that aren't like entirely mythology, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like we see them that way because it's been so long ago, right? Like if you take, I don't know, like Hinduism, right? It's like 5,000 years old, okay? Even like Christianity is only 2,000, right? I'm sure, like, there are stories in there that are based on, like, real life events. But, like, real life is fucking boring, Nick. You know what I mean? So, like, I'm gonna pick on Jesus. So, if you believe in Jesus, take this with a grain of salt. Let's say Jesus is around, right? And you're some dude, like, following Jesus around. And, we're gonna do the walking on water thing. Let's say he didn't walk on water. Say, like, he had a surfboard, right? Like, he jumped off the ship on a surfboard, right? And, like, now you want to relate the story to other people. What sounds cooler? Like, Jesus jumped off the ship onto a surfboard, or like, Jesus walked on water, right? That sounds pretty awesome.
Well, I'll say both sound pretty awesome.
I don't know. Jesus on a surfboard does sound pretty awesome.
But jumping off of a ship onto a surfboard and then surfing away, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, all right, I'll give you that. But there's some things that, like, it's hard to explain, right? So, like, if you and I were to have a discussion on, like, I don't fucking know, like, quantum physics, okay? Here, I'll take a good example, okay? So, like, electrons or atoms, okay? Those are not actual things. Okay. They're like scientific metaphors used to explain a certain aspect of matter, right? But like, if you were to be able to go down and see those things, they wouldn't look the way that you're taught about them in school, right? So when you're in school, they teach you like, oh, you have like the nucleus, and then like the electron flies around it, right, in an orbit, okay? Like Earth goes around the sun. But that's not what it does at all. Right, because the electron doesn't actually go around in a circle.
Listen, I don't want to start. I don't want to start hearing you profess your flat Earth policies.
I'm not professing Earth policies.
So get back to your electron example. Stop pulling the Earth and the Sun into your thing.
Oh, are you a flat Earther, Nick? I apologize.
No, I'm saying you are a flat Earther.
No, I just said the Earth revolves around the Sun.
No, you said, like, the Earth revolves around the Sun. Well, that's not exactly what happens. And then you gave your electron example.
Oh, no, I meant that's not what happens in the electron.
Don't be a flat Earth truther, okay?
All right. Fine. Nick is a flat Earth truther, guys. Okay?
Not at all.
He's upset by this. All right. The electron doesn't orbit around the nucleus, right? It, like, appears at different spots in a shell around the nucleus. Okay, so it doesn't, like, go around in circles. It just, like, pops in and out all over the shell, okay? It's a probability. So if you were to, like, actually see it, it would be just like a shell.
It's more like a boba ball? Is that what you're saying?
We had boba tea this week at the ball.
I knew you did, of course.
Man, it was good. Strawberry, what did I have? Strawberry mango. And Reagan had strawberry and macadamia? And Zoe has strawberry and strawberry.
Which one was better out of the three?
I don't know. That strawberry was pretty good.
That macadamia nut sounds good.
It was good, but it tasted a little weird.
Like grainy? Like the nuts weren't ground up?
No, not grainy. It was kind of like a latte tea.
Weird.
Yeah, it was odd.
One thing I've discovered, just a quick tangent about nuts.
Yes. I love
the wife. The wife does tons of cooking. We get a card in the mail last Thursday, mm-hmm. Thursday or Friday, from Costco saying our records indicate that you have bought Kirkland brand mixed nut spread. Mm. We are asking for a quality recall. There's nothing wrong with the product. It just doesn't live up to our quality standards. So please bring it in if you have it, and, you know, we will fully reimburse you.
Sure.
So we're like, oh, okay, gotcha. And then 2 days later, another card in the mail. Our records indicate that you have purchased the Kirkland brand almond butter. And same thing, not living up to the quality. Mm-hmm. Please return it. So the wife and I went back twice, returned both of them, got some money back. Whatever. The point of the story is all of a sudden Costco and a lot of other places stopped carrying like almond butter. And the wife, of course, she's cooking left and right with it. So that's usually what she uses is almond butter. And she uses organic almond butter.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, a week later, we're talking like all these stores out of organic almond butter for whatever reason. And then she sort of puts it together, and most of the almonds are grown in California. And we're thinking that maybe the like almond farms were hit by the California fires. What was that, 2 years ago, a year and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe since they are organic, maybe they did get wiped out. And that's why organic almond butter is really pricey right now, as well as very hard to find.
Mm. Interesting that you bring this up, because you're close, but that's not the exact reason why.
Oh.
The reason is collapse of bee colonies.
What?
Yeah, because almonds have no pollinators aside from bees.
Oh, interesting.
Bees are the only thing that can pollinate an almond tree. And with the collapse of bee colonies, they can't get enough bees to the almond farms to get enough almonds to sell. Yeah.
Well, that's great to know. Interesting, but that does make sense as well.
Mm-hmm. Bees.
Yes, yes. So go back to your bulba ball.
Okay, so bulba balls. So if I explain to you, like, how this works, right? You have this, like, the nucleus, and then the electron goes around it, but it goes in, like, this direct, whatever. It forms, like, a shell, right? The electron forms a shell around it. Like, that was a 10-minute explanation, right? Well, maybe 5 minutes. Whereas, like, I could show you this picture of, like, one ball going around the other. You recognize that, right? Because, like, you've seen Earth go around the sun, unless you're a flat earther or whatever. What is it? Whatever the other one is. The Earth is the center of the universe. Uh-huh. Unless you're one of those people. Like, you've seen that, right? You're in school, you've seen that. Makes sense. Yeah. Easy to understand, uh-huh. right? Much easier than the explanation I just gave about, like, probabilities and, like, electrons popping in and out of existence at random places.
For sure.
Right? So if you use the metaphor, it's much easier. And over time, the metaphor just keeps on changing and evolving. Well, like, all of a sudden, it's like, I don't fucking know. What would be some, like, cool, like, simplistic cartoon metaphor for an electron? I don't fucking know. Whatever. A hula hoop. What was that toy? Yeah, they used to strap to your ankle and you, like, spin it around like a hula hoop. Remember that?
That was after my time. Oh. Yeah, I do remember that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's based on, like, an actual thing, but most people are too stupid to understand, like, how that thing works. So let's just, like, put it in this image where, like, people will understand. And, like, if you're smart enough, you, like, really get what it means. But if you're just, like, a dum-dum, like most people, you're just like, oh, cool. Like, it just goes around in circles. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You see what I mean?
Well, it's like, when you're in eighth grade and you can have a science professor espousing all of this stuff, but it almost takes you to look under the microscope at blood yourself to really like put it together.
Mm.
Like it's painted in your picture, in your head, a picture, but yet once you see it there underneath a microscope, then it's like, ah, okay, now that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and you know, so I was an English major because I hate math. I'm sure that's why you were an English major as well. But now that I've gotten older, I kind of like math. In fact, my wife and I had an interesting exchange the other day. Because I was at work, and all of a sudden I had this thought. So I wrote it down on a piece of paper. And then, like, I just started seeing all this stuff. And this is going to sound really weird. I found the value of pi. And I got really excited, just like off this picture that I drew. Mm. So I texted my wife and I said, I found the value of pi. And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Because, of course, like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? I also don't give a shit. But, like, it was exciting to be able to figure out this number that's important in, like, you know, architecture and, like, the stuff and the other. Just off, like, this random thought that I had in my head.
I get excited. I get that way. I get very excited for March 14th.
Mm,
because that's Pi Day, and I love pies.
Ah, yes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What kind of pie do you eat on Pi Day?
Any and all.
Any as and much, all.
As much as I can before vomiting.
Do you know what kind of pie I eat on Pie Day?
A savory pie. A meat pie.
A pumpkin pie.
Pumpkin?
Dude, that's the only pie that matters.
I will say, whenever I go to Baker Square, that is the only pie usually I order.
Mm-hmm. Pumpkin pie is the best pie.
It's a classic.
It is. Sweet potato pie is a second. I love me an apple pie. And I love a cherry pie.
See, I'll take a savory meat pie or a vegetable pie above a dessert pie.
See, every time I think of pie, I always think of a dessert pie.
Yeah, I know. And I'm trying to change that thing that's been instilled in your head.
All right. So then I'm going to move a quiche up to second place because I love me a quiche, like a spinach quiche.
I thought you were going to say empanadas, and then I would be in full agreement with you.
Well, empanadas are not pies, are they?
Yes, it's a hand pie.
They're more like sandwiches.
No. No.
No?
That's a full – it's like a turnover. It's a fold-over crust. It's a hand pie.
So a calzone is a hand pie?
It could be.
I mean, it's got calzones, just like a bigger empanada.
You're lucky that I'm allowing a quiche to be part of this conversation.
But a quiche is a pie.
Hey.
It goes in pie crust, doesn't it?
I'm just saying, if you are balking at empanadas and you're allowing quiches, then you can just head right out that door. Get out of here.
But quiches are in pie shells.
Sure.
Empanadas are like little – they're like Hot Pockets.
Listen, are you that person that just wants to debate? Are you the next thing that's going to come out of your mouth is, well, okay, so what is a sandwich? Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Yeah, of course
it is.
Get
the hell out of here with that.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
Get out of here.
All right, what's a sandwich?
No, it is a sandwich.
All right,
yes,
exactly.
But I don't like when people want to put parameters on, like, a sandwich is something that is two pieces of bread with something in the middle. Oh, okay. And then you get the jackhole that's like, well, then what's a hot dog? Like, oh, come on. If I take two pieces of pizza and fold them over on each other, does that make a sandwich? Like, oh, get out of here. Now you're just being silly. And kids like that on the playground used to get punched right in the nose.
Well, I mean, you can make a sandwich with one piece of bread, right?
You could.
That's still a sandwich.
It's called an open-faced sandwich.
An open-faced sandwich. So what about like a keto sandwich where you use like lettuce?
Listen.
Instead of bread. Right.
You just have to pump your brakes. Let's go back to Kentucky Fried Chicken. Where they did the sandwich with no bread, but it was two breaded pieces of chicken.
Correct.
Chicken breast.
Yes.
With all the gross sandwich fixings in the middle.
Yes.
Is that a sandwich? Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
But that's very disgusting.
So then technically a sandwich is any filling between at least one piece of another thing.
It's a vehicle, a filled vehicle that you eat. Correct.
A filled vehicle that you eat.
Yes, a sandwich is just a vehicle to fill up and you throw into your mouth.
Well, no, I'm gonna argue with this because you're not filling anything. Filling it implies that it's enclosed. So an empanada would be filled, but a sandwich cannot be filled.
All right, touche.
Right?
But you're going to go into that territory where on a school ground you're going to get punched right in the nose.
Well, lucky for me, I'm not in school anymore.
Yeah. It feels like we're having a Twitter discussion. You know what I'm saying?
I was about to say the same
thing. Where some idiot is saying stuff like that and you're just like, oh my God, I can't mute this conversation quick enough. Or you're like 2 inches away from like, do I mute the conversation or do I just unfriend this person? Because they're crazy.
So what you're saying is we should talk about this for 10 more minutes.
Oh God, no. But that would be the one food group that I probably could eat until I threw up.
Pies, yes.
Pies, for sure.
Yes. This is like the pizza argument, right? With Chicago-style pizza.
See, one of my buddies just posted on Twitter yesterday. He tweeted out one of a very well-known Chicago pizza establishments. He retweeted their tweet that was pretty much, look, Chicago is not just deep dish pizza. That's like a special occasion pizza. Our 99% pizzas around here are thin crust, awesome pizzas. And then he showed a picture of their pizza. And it's like, yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like, yes, sure. Or it's a special occasion or like, oh, we're going out for the weekend. All right, let's get some. Mm-hmm. But I would say 90% is not effing deep dish pizza.
Well, see, so we learned something. Because in New York, the only correct way to eat pizza is to fold it in half. So what we learned is that Chicago pizza is a pie and New York pizza is a sandwich.
I swear to God, I would hit you right on your Twitter code.
All right, good. Lesson learned. Lesson learned. Let's move on.
Yes. Hey, sorry, do you have somewhere to go?
No, I was going to tell you a quick story, but go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to give you a reflection, that's all.
Okay, I like reflections. So hold it tight next to your heart.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to – I don't know if we talked about this or not. Did I tell you about me taking the psychopath test?
I hope you aced it.
All right. Not only did I ace it, I got a perfect score in the psychopath test. So, of course, I told my wife.
Yes, of course.
Because, you know, my wife loves true crime.
Yeah, say it loud, say it proud.
That's right. So I told her. And so her reply to me is, well, that's not any news. And I told her she should take the test.
Uh-oh.
Okay, so apparently my wife took the test, failed it miserably, okay?
Are you a psychopath, or is this you can figure out who is a psychopath?
No, this is, are you a psychopath?
You would think that she'd have a leg up on everyone, considering the amount of podcasts and movies she watches.
So funny you should say this, because this is where the story begins.
Mm.
So I take this test, get a perfect score. Okay, she's not surprised. I tell her she should take it. I don't hear anything about her taking it for a couple days. Yesterday, I get home, and she's like, I found the new podcast. And I said, let me guess. It's a true crime podcast. And she told me the name. And I was like, yeah, with a name like that, it's got to be a true crime podcast. So she's talking to me about like this episode she listened to about some girl.
What was the name?
I don't remember.
Oh, man.
I think it's like a one word. Anyway, so she's telling me about this episode she listened to about this girl in Japan that got kidnapped by this like gang of kids. And was like raped and tortured for like weeks or months. I don't remember. And like going through it and like talking to me about like why she likes this podcast, like how like graphically detailed they are when they explain like the murders and stuff. And so, of course, my reply was, and I'm the one that got a perfect score in a psychopath test.
How would she have failed that? I don't understand that whatsoever.
I don't either. Let me see if I can find one. Maybe we can take this together, Nick.
Uh-oh.
All right. Breaking news. Is Nick Wetmore a psychopath? Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel afraid? Never, sometimes, when the situation calls it.
Sometimes.
You sleep with your boss to get a promotion. Do you feel guilty?
Jesus.
No way. I feel guilty. I would never do that.
I would never do that.
All right. Someone catches you cheating on your final in your college course. Do you feel ashamed? No. I did what I had to do to pass. I would never do that.
Do you feel ashamed?
Yes.
I would never do that.
God, you're such a goodie.
I am. That sucks. Yeah, go ahead.
Do you use a mask to blend into society and seem normal? Yes or no?
Do you use a what?
A mask. Quote unquote mask.
A mask to blend it? No.
No. Your puppy died overnight. How do you react? Good. Now I won't need to go on walks with him. No, my puppy, who did this? Huge tears of unhappiness and grief.
Huge tears of unhappiness and grief.
Your best friend is crying over a breakup. Her boyfriend cheated on her. You tell her to stop crying, crack jokes about what a loser the guy was, cry with her. That's a terrible situation.
Crack jokes.
Do you turn your charm on when you feel like it?
Yes.
Oh, you might be a psychopath. Is your ego the size of Texas?
No.
That is true. Do you love lying?
No.
Are you inquisitive about the world around you?
Yes.
Are you unable to perform or to form emotional, meaningful relationships?
No.
Are you a violent person?
No, I wish I was sometimes.
Are you a reckless driver?
No, not at all.
Would you recklessly hijack someone else's bank robbery?
Jeez, no. I would run away screaming.
Have you ever stalked someone?
Huh. Is this just yes or no?
Yeah, yes or no.
Stalked someone? No.
That's kind of a weird question, right? Because, like, there's different degrees of stalking.
There's some – I will say this happened maybe once, probably in high school, where I wanted to know where somebody lived, and I followed them back to their house just to see where the hell they lived.
Mm, yeah.
But is there any other craziness? No. Did I stalk them any other way? No.
Do you have a deep, dark secret you've managed to hide from someone, from everyone for years?
Sure.
By the way, this is not the test that I took because I don't recognize any of these questions.
I was going to say, are these all the questions that you made up just to see, like, is Nick really a psychopath?
Do you feel like rules are there to keep you from doing what you want to do?
No.
Do you feel like people – what? Do you feel like people – all right, this question makes no sense. Do you talk about scary, weird things in a matter-of-fact tone?
Scary. No.
Okay. Have you ever hurt people before?
Yeah.
Would you force anyone to do something they didn't want to do?
Yes.
Ooh, now we're getting juicy. When found out, do you have a problem explaining your actions without feeling really bad?
Yes.
Do you have the ability to get people to trust you while backstabbing them?
Yes. How do you even answer that?
Right? Are you always doing things for yourself? Doing things to get ahead and look out for yourself?
No.
I didn't think so. Do you feel uncomfortable around you?
Do I feel uncomfortable around me?
Yes.
No.
All right, Nick. Let's see what this says. You are a normal person with normal emotions.
Oh, thank God.
You aren't dark humored, you don't have dark wit, and you're definitely not a psycho. In fact, you're pretty much a normal person with a conscience and everything. You're good. Why'd you doubt that in the first place? I don't like this test. Anyways, I took one of these, and I got a perfect score. It was awesome.
Did you hide behind – are you – showing a mask out in public and in private?
Yeah, the questions that I had on the one that I took, I couldn't find. I didn't bother looking, by the way. I just like searched for a psychopath test and just picked the first one on the list. But the questions that I had were much more nuanced in their wording. This one seemed like very matter of fact. Like, would you kill a kitty? Well, like, of course you're going to answer no. I don't want to kill a kitty.
I guess it's one of those, is it nuanced, like, would you kill a kitty because it was going to die anyway to save your daughter from
sure.
emotionally see it happen? Like, I don't know. Like, the one I just did, it felt like, are you a positive person? Are you negative towards in these situations?
Mm-hmm.
Like, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that I had didn't have, like, do you feel uncomfortable around yourself? Like, what the fuck kind of question is that?
Hmm.
Anyways.
Do you hide behind a mask? Are you Martin the Dark Self?
There is no dark self. There's only one self.
There might be.
No, there's not. Listen, I've done a lot of shrooms. Trust me. There is no dark self.
Have you ever stalked somebody?
No.
Because I don't even consider what I did stalking.
I don't even like people. Why would I stalk them?
But like me wanting to see where that person lived, I think I just wanted to see, like, are they really rich?
Mm.
Because I came from the John Hughes school of thinking where there are definite social lines when you're in high school.
Yeah.
And if that person was living in a gigantic mansion, which my school – it was a suburban school. It was in Naperville, and there were definitely classes within Naperville.
Mm.
And I knew my class. But if all of a sudden I followed this person home and she was in the really ritzy area. Not to say that she wouldn't date me, but you sort of know you're on this side of the tracks. These other people are on the other side of the tracks.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I did it.
I gotcha. Yeah. I've never done that. And see, this is the thing, right? Because, like, my wife does this all the time.
What do you mean?
Like, we'll meet, like, a new person,
mm-hmm.
right? And, like, immediately, she's like, fucking Heather, private eye for ready. You know what I mean? She's like, oh, yeah, I found them on Facebook. Like, they do this. I'm like, who cares?
I remember at a previous job, before this one person got hired, one of my coworkers came to me and they were like, they did the same exact thing. They private eyed like what she looks like. Here's all of her views on social media, blah, blah, blah. So I already had a picture in my head of this person before they were even hired.
Mm.
And that person never, ever lived up to the way they were portrayed on social media, which is crazy because guess what? You're creating that social media person. And that was not even close to being who that person came out to be that I worked with. It was strange. It was completely bizarre.
Oh, so you prejudged just based on social media profile.
But see, I would never even have thought to do that.
Mm.
But when my coworker's reading all of these entries that that person did, it's hard not to be like, huh, I want, huh. But I guess if I looked at my social media presence, it would be like, does this guy just read comic books all day? What the hell's going on?
yeah. Dude, I used to have that problem when I first started like managing teams,
mm-hmm.
And doing hiring. Cause you can easily, and I mean, some of these things like you're taught to look for, right? So like you pull up a resume and there's like a typo,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that tells you something about the person, right? But like you have to be careful with that cause like, do you want, like, I will be judgy about your fucking grammar, right? So, like, if you misspell a word in your resume, do I bring in, like, all my baggage about how I hate, like, bad grammar?
Sure.
But I used to have a real problem with that when I first started doing hiring stuff for companies.
See, my old manager, he was very much in the job requirements. He would put in 125%. Of what that job actually required, knowing that no one's going to fit to it 100%. So even if he got close to 80, 75%, it's all good. But he also, and that's just to get somebody in the door to interview. But then he even was like, yeah, but when you interview somebody or you read over their resume, are they really that experienced in XYZ platforms? Have they done everything that they claim to do?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. And even if they did, we would still have to train that person in the way we want them to do XYZ.
Yep.
That's why it's crazy, like the whole prejudging thing. It's crazy because it's like, Jesus, as long as you can, are you just looking for that bullseye or are you looking for traits within that person of like, well, that person isn't so rigid in the way they approach situations, so we can manipulate and mold them into the employee that I want under me.
Yeah. That's why I don't care too much about the resume part. Because that doesn't tell me anything, right?
Right.
Like we've talked about this when Zoe was having school issues last year, which like all of a sudden, a new teacher, no problems. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So go figure. Called it, but it's the same thing. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
just because you worked, let's say, in IT for 20 years, doesn't mean you know anything about what the fuck you're going to do here.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
You might have book smarts, but you might not know, like, how to talk to people.
For sure.
Right? So, like, if you're in a team project, even if you know anything, like every single thing about it, you're still useless because you don't know how to work in a team, right? But you can't convey that with like, oh, I worked at blah, blah, blah for 20 years and here for 15 years. Like, all right, cool. Like you're good at staying in one job for a long time. Like that tells me nothing about you.
Yeah, I would be much more interested in finding out, is that person a team player or do they just want to jockey over me?
Yeah, yeah.
as a boss. That's what I would want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or guess what? In your position, maybe you aren't looking for a team player. Maybe you want somebody who, like, do I have to hold their hand 24/7, or are they a self-starter?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what's important to you for that position.
Well, and the thing is, too, I usually try to see, like, the people that I have and, like, how is this person going to complement what I already have, right? Because everyone brings different skills.
For sure.
Like, what skill does this person have that will make, like, Joe Schmo better at such and such?
Right.
Right? Like, that's more important to me than you fucking sitting in front of a computer for 20 years.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. We have this freaking, like, long-ass interview guide, and I hate using it. It is the worst fucking thing in the world. And I've seen this, like, I guess a lot of places use these. I remember any of you for a job, like, I don't know, 15 years ago. And it was one of those, like, team interviews, which are the worst. Where it was, like, three people from the company interviewing me. And then they would interview, like, the next candidate. And then the next one. And then they do, like, team interviews where it's like those three people and then like two of the candidates, and then you bring in like three on the next round. I'm like, that's so weird. You never had that?
Oh yeah, it happened to me a couple times so far in this process that I'm doing.
Like, what does that tell you about the person? That tells you nothing.
I don't know. I always look at it because I've never been part of the interview team. I've only been the interviewee.
Mm-hmm.
In that scenario, but and looking at it from my point of view, it's almost like, is it easier for them to sit there for an hour because you have four other people, so you don't have to carry the weight of this interview?
Mm.
But it's strange because every time I'm part of it, it's like it's four people doing four completely different jobs. And only one of them is doing the job that's similar to the one I'm being interviewed for.
Mm.
Which is even more confusing to me.
Yeah, yeah.
But it feels very judgy.
Yeah.
So it's very strange. I have yet to come out of one being like, that went well.
Yeah, it's so weird.
Because in my head, I just think, okay, out of all of those questions that everyone asked me for the hour, hour and a half that I was there, 10% might have applied to my day-to-day duties and what they need to know for me to accomplish the day-to-day duties.
Mm-hmm.
Everything else was just like, what would you do in this one scenario? And it's like, does that happen every week? I wanted to ask them, or is that this happened one time in 5 years, but let's see how he would approach that scenario.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, if it happened one time in 5 years, come on. Like, you don't need anyone to be able to like answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to me about something that happens every week. And yep. Then let's talk.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I often get like random weird comments at the end of interviews. Only reason I'm bringing this up, by the way, is I've had to do some interviews lately. Because mm-hmm. we're like super shorthanded again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I've had people at the end of the interview like not know like what the hell to do. Like, there's definitely a sigh of relief at the end of the interview, right? Which is mm-hmm. to be expected. But every time I do one, like I ask very few questions about like previous job history, which is great because it throws them for a loop because like mm-hmm. that's what they prepare for.
Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? And so at the end, they're like, I haven't done an interview like that. I'm like, oh, you were fine. Don't worry about it. I'll let you know if I decide to hire you.
Right.
Yeah. Interviews, the worst.
Agreed.
The worst. I hate getting interviewed too. So I feel when I bring these people in and do interviews, I'm like, sorry, both got to be here, bro. Or sister.
It's like, is there any way that I can can I ask you questions?
Yeah.
Like you have my resume in front of you. I've already talked to your HR person that should have obviously typed out notes and sent them to you as one of the potential candidates. Now, can I just ask you about day-to-day duties that you would expect? What are you looking for? Like, but no, I can't do that. I have mm-hmm. to sit there and like, oh, let me regurgitate my resume.
Well, so I'll tell you like some from my personal experience, kind of unconventional things that I like to do, because it tells me more about a person. So, like, all right, Nick Wetmore. Okay, let's say you come in and I ask you to tell me about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
What's your answer?
Jeez, I've never had that. So, good luck on that one. The closest question I ever had to that was, if you were to write a book, what book would it be? What would you write about?
Ooh, like, I like that.
That was the first question of somebody like, wow, you actually know what I graduated my degree with, and that relates to that. And it was something that really took me through a loop. But
I'm going to use that next time. I like that question.
It's good for the English major, let's put it that
sure,
way.
Sure, sure. But like, all right, so for example, so if I say, hey, blah, 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 hey, Nick, like I looked over your resume, blah, 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 tell me a little bit about yourself. Obviously, I want to know, like, what you're about.
Sure.
Right? It's not – the question is not, like, what's your name?
No, I get that. Right? Trust me.
But trust me when I tell you that I'll sit down for an interview and I'll ask this question and I'll get, oh, my name is Nick Wetmore. I live in Chicago. My wife's name is Elizabeth. Like, that wasn't the question, bro.
I like the Chicago Cubs
Bears.
Right. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah. Cool. Like, that doesn't tell me, like, what you're about, right? It doesn't tell me who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the kind of questions that I like to ask, because it forces you, for one, it catches you by surprise, right? Because you're not being asked those questions regularly. And two, it has you think a little bit more about your answers.
Mm-hmm.
And dig a little bit deeper than just coming up with some premeditated thing.
Sure, right? I can see that.
Anybody can do premeditated work. I need you to work on your feet, right? And be smart mm-hmm. enough to switch lanes when you need to switch lanes. So anyways, God, so why are we talking about interviews? That's very weird, Nick.
Obviously, they're on your head right now.
Yes, they are on my head.
Mm-hmm.
They are on my head. It was funny. Last night, I got a text from my new boss. She's like, get some, what was it? Something, she needed me to get something ready for the morning. Cause she was going to be stopping by and apparently there were like corporate people in town and they were going to swing by. And I did not see this message. Cause when I get home, I put my phone on the charger and I do other stuff, right? Like I don't walk around with my phone in my hand all day.
Sure.
So I didn't even look at my phone. I went to bed last night, woke up this morning. I grabbed my phone, start playing my podcast, and then I see this text. And I'm like, nobody's going to be coming over here. Like, I'm not even worried about this woman. So I go to work, and like 8:30, she calls me. She's like, did you get my text? I said, yeah. She said, did you get that done? No. Well, we're all coming over this morning. I said, I don't want to say her name. Blah, blah, blah. You guys are not coming over here. She's like, I talked to them yesterday. We're all going to go over there for lunch. All right, if you say so. So I went ahead. I got this taken care of. Guess who never showed up, Nick?
Exactly.
Never. It's every time. That's why I like my old boss, because he knew. They just say that to, like, scare people.
Oh, so this was how is she going to react to this?
Yeah, kind of.
Because obviously they had no intention of actually going over there, but they wanted to put the fear of God into her and see how she would approach it with you.
Yeah. I mean, there were some VPs in town, which they are in town.
Sure.
But I knew they weren't going to be stopping by. Like, for what?
So did it feel like you wasted an entire morning getting this ready by lunchtime?
Oh, dude, it took me like 30 minutes. It wasn't even like that big a deal.
Oh, then no big deal.
No big deal. But the point was that, like, they suckered her. They suckered her, Nick.
Did you write her back and be like, where are you guys at like 4 o'clock?
I thought about it when I left. I left at like 3 or 3:30. And I was going to text her and be like, hey, it's good to see you today. But I was like, nah, that'd be such a dick move.
See, I would have done that at 3:30 and been like, hey, I'm leaving now. I waited for you guys to do lunch. So I'm going to leave now and go get lunch and head home.
Oh yeah, I should have been like, I waited for you guys to get to bring me lunch, so I'm just going to buy the entire place lunch.
Jeez.
That's what I should have done.
So ridiculous.
I've done that before. We had this quota that we had to meet, and this is like her first week, right? And she's like, if anybody that meets this quota, like, I'll buy the everybody lunch. This is like 3 months ago. I'm still waiting for my lunch. You know what I mean?
Go and grab it for the team.
Well, so the day before Thanksgiving, we're like rushing to get all the shit done before everyone goes on break. Before Christmas. Before Christmas break. And rushing to get all the shit done. And I was like, you know what? This woman never bought us our lunch. So I went and got everybody lunch.
You come out like a hero.
Yeah.
Why not?
Why not?
I like it.
Anyways. So, thank you for listening to the Nerdy Legion interview cast. next episode, we'll have further tips on how to interview well.
Oh, I like it. I need those.
And find your life purpose and achieve your career goals.
Ooh.
You like that? See, if we used words like that, we'd have mad SEO juice.
Oh, I like it.
But we don't. So we have little SEO juice.
That's all right.
That's okay. Anyways, but yes, this has been the Nerdy Legion podcast with Nick and Martin. Wait, are we done? Why am I doing that? We're done, right? Are we done? No, you had a story.
No story. This is just a little tidbit.
Yeah.
Don't know if you know, I'm reading Countdown to Final Crisis, DC event. One of those weekly events. And I discovered something, Martin.
Uh-oh.
And if you were to tell me, dude, you just need to read more of that, it'll get good. I'm totally with you. Okay. A-okay. But I think I discovered something. I don't think I like the fourth world.
Ooh, you're going to make people angry.
That's okay. I love the king. Don't get me wrong. He is the king.
Elvis?
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't find any appeal of it. And especially in the modern comics, even excluding the Kirby stuff. Like, I like Olmec. I like Brother Eye. I like stuff like that in the modern setting.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other characters in that, like, pocket universe, I just don't have any connection with them.
Mm.
I find them just very boring and sleepy.
But you like the Kirby stuff.
Yeah, because it's Kirby.
Yeah. No, I get you. No, I totally see it. I was thinking about, like, on a similar vein. Because, I'm doing this Daredevil thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we talked about I started Volume 1 of Mark Waid's. Did we talk about that?
Yeah, you finished that.
Yeah. So, and I just finished Volume 2.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of felt the same way that you're feeling now, right? Like, I remember you saying how much you liked the Waid Daredevil stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say, it's great. It's really fun.
Yeah, it peters out at the end, but it still does.
But there was, like, a lot of stuff I didn't like. And maybe it's my bad for starting, like, with newer stuff, right? Because I started with the Charles Soule stuff. Mm. So maybe that's my bad. But I felt like – and, I mean, this is a Mark Waid thing, though, so maybe it's that. We're like, there's certain things that I didn't really care about as I'm reading the story.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, I wanted to see, like, Daredevil kicking ass.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's what he does in Charles Soule's run.
Sure.
But in the Mark Waid stuff, you have a lot of, like, the personal stuff, right? Like running the law office.
Yeah. Or,
like, getting the girlfriend, this, that, and the other. And, like, I don't care about that stuff.
Well, then you might want to avoid reading the Bendis and Brubaker stuff.
But that's queued up next.
It's fucking awesome. I love that stuff. It's probably my favorite stuff. But if you're just looking for a guy in red tights flying around the city, it ain't that.
Oh, let me tell you, don't like the red tights.
Mm.
I like the black.
All right, we can disagree on that one, but that's okay.
I mean, that's fine, but I do like the black. I have an aversion to both red and yellow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe this is why I've never read much Daredevil before this.
Because
there's a lot of red and a lot of yellow.
Sure.
And I love black.
Of course you do.
Because I have a dark soul. but no, I see what you mean about the fourth world stuff. I'm in agreement with you actually on that.
I just don't. Dasad doesn't do it for me. Granny Goodness doesn't do it for me. Mm-hmm. Darkseid, he certainly does not do it for me.
Yeah.
There's just, but I mean, Marvel has the same thing. There's characters that you bring in that are just so, like Thanos. He's just so freaking powerful that every time you almost have to trick him.
Mm.
And like, okay, now we did it. We tricked him. We outsmarted him. And then he goes away for a little bit. Yeah. And maybe it's just the modern tellings of these characters, but I was just like loving Countdown. And then all of a sudden it started to, and even the Brother Eye and Omak stuff, I'm like, heck yeah. And then all of a sudden I'm like 20 issues from the end. All of a sudden it's like, oh no, this is going to become a fourth world thing. Oh man. Like, I love Jimmy Olsen having bizarre heroic powers, and they kept fluctuating different powers, you know, and they, but then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, he is tied to the fourth. Oh no. Now it all makes sense. Oh no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I get your point.
And there's parts of it that's good, like the Dark Side War. Like, there's parts of that that's really good. There's parts of the Morrison Dark Side, you know. But it's just as a whole, I don't know if I like the modern inserting these characters into a modern setting for me. I don't know. Hey, guess what? Some people like Two-Face. Some people don't like Two-Face.
Sure.
To each their own. I'm not judging anyone. Nor do I want to be judged on this. It's just, if it would have went to a Brother Eye bit, I think I would have enjoyed it more, because it's just crazy computer 2001, A Space Odyssey taking over. Like, we had that once, and guess what? I'll take that again. I would like to see that again.
So I think that's part of the reason why cosmic books don't do as well.
Mm.
As other stuff. I mean, obviously some of it has to do with like the time frame that you're reading it, right? Because like the cosmic stuff was really big in like the 70s and 80s.
For sure.
Right? So part of it has to do with like the culture, like how the culture sees the world. And so you get like those kind of stories.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But I think part of it also is it's so hard to deal with like really powerful beings, creatures.
Yep.
That most writers like don't really have, like don't really know where to take it to make them personable, right? Because they feel like, hey, I just need to show how like badass this dude is.
But see, that's that exactly to your point is the other side of the coin for me. Growing up, Superman never ever appealed to me because of that exact reason. All he was a big tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it took a modern writers to write him in a way that's like, oh, okay, now I see that he has to push down the desire to crack open an earth.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the struggle. Where, like, in the 70s, they would struggle with Superman's humanity or hiding, you know, keeping a secret from everyone
mm-hmm.
of his special identity. And it was the modern writers that made him, or at least made me as an audience member, care that, oh my God, he has to pull every punch. He can't go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why that's fascinating to me. Like that made Superman enduring to me and want to read more.
Yeah. You know, I think Mike's reading Silver Surfer, for example, like that's a good character to look at. Cause like, I think one of the better runs for Silver Surfer was, I mean, fairly recent, within the last couple of years. And the way that they made it work is they, like, basically just gave him a girlfriend.
Is this the All-Red run?
Yeah, the All-Red run. Because, like, that's the kind of thing you have to do, right? Like, because how are people going to be able to, like, relate to the character if they just, like, snap their fingers and, like, worlds explode?
Yeah, Mobius can't draw Silver Surfer to make it, the only reason you're buying it is because it's beautiful.
Right.
Yeah, he can't draw every Silver Surfer issue.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah, it's strange. And maybe it's just like I need a modern retelling of these characters. Because whenever I see Granny Goodness or Despot, I'm always just like, oh my God, this is so like, okay, you're taking it into an S&M type dark fate. You know, it's just like, oh God, like come on. But I also, you know, I also roll my eyes at the S&M Batman, you know, Joker. Like I just, ugh, like come on.
Yeah, I'm actually a little worried that that may be what it's going to turn into now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We'll see. There's only one issue of the new run, so I don't know yet.
Gotcha. Like, I love Miracle Man.
Sure.
Like, I loved reading, like, back in the day, and I'll still pick up Miracle Man here and there.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. Don't know what to say.
Yeah.
It's very convenient. Like, all of a sudden, like, I got a mother box, and guess what it does? Bing! Like, it's just one of those, it's just like the Infinity Gauntlet. It's like, oh, that can get you out of anything. It's almost like, oh, I woke up from a dream. Like, that is the solution to a lot of stuff.
Yeah, it's always a solution.
And I get that, quote unquote, oh, that's just sci-fi. But it's also like, well, yeah, but now this isn't the 70s where anything can be, you woke up from a dream. Like, people should expect better from a modern storytelling.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still just, like, that's the only part of the Countdown to Final Crisis that I'm just like, sort of dragging my heels with. That's all.
Yeah.
But I finally came to that realization with this. Like, every once in a while, I was reading some modern telling and, like I said, Final Crisis and stuff like that, where they had the characters in there, but it's just like, okay.
That's so weird. I just remembered. This is so random. Years ago, somebody sent me like a CGC copy of Silver Surfer 50.
Ooh.
Cause the case had a crack in it. And they're like, I don't want it. It's cracked. Do you want it? I'm like, yeah.
You're like, yeah. You know what I'm doing with that case? I'll be cracking it more than just a little bit.
I've never cracked it open. I gotta find it now and see where it's at.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Post that.
All right, let me see if I can find it. Where is it? It's got to be in the closet. I got to finish moving those damn comics out of the closet, man. My wife's like, can I have my closet now that you have your office in the garage?
Yeah, go store that stuff out there. Come yeah. on.
Well, I'm like, you want to help me move all this shit up to the attic? Because that's a lot of stairs. But once that happens, then I can move my comics out here.
Right. That's just going back to this little thing. It is very much like Taskmaster. Like when Fred Van Lente, his run, and I know I've praised his run before, but when he approached Taskmaster in the mini and sort of explained away, not just, oh, he sees something once and he learns it, but explains that, oh, he studies somebody's style and then he has to forget the, like, not the, the earliest memory gets forgotten.
Mm.
So he starts losing, like, people in his life, memories of people in his life, because he's learning all this new stuff.
Right.
It's like a hard disk that, like, only has so much capacity, so you have to delete stuff and then refrag it. And that concept, I was like, that's a cool modern take on an old villain. And I mean, Dan Slott did that with a lot of Spider-Man foes. And I like when they can approach stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, the ventriloquist was very one-dimensional, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, that's what happened. Oh, Mr. Freeze, it's not just his what? Ah, okay, now that totally makes sense.
Which is so weird, and I mean, I guess it's not weird, because, like, you get used to it being a certain way.
Yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons I love Batman. It's not always, like, about Batman, right? It's about the rogues that are around them.
Yeah, look at how many versions Catwoman went through.
Well, sure.
But and they're all that, lost.
Like, I love the ventriloquist.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of my favorites. But he's so underutilized for the same reason as, like, a lot of people can't write cosmic villains is, like, it's really hard. Like, how do you write this fucking crazy-ass guy that's, like, basically mind-controlled by his own puppet?
Well as put a little modern spin on it. And then you also don't want it to sound like Batman the Animated Series too, which is really tough. Those are tough hurdles to get around.
Yeah. Yep. That's true.
But I just didn't know if you ever ran into that, but it was so strange because it was like a light bulb moment of like, maybe I don't like these characters. I like Mr. Miracle, but maybe I don't. You know, it's just, it's one of those, like, I try and try and try, but I just, I don't know. Maybe they just don't connect up with me. Not that everything has to connect up with me. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I don't like Plastic Man either, for whatever reason. I just don't. That's okay.
That's funny. I don't either. I liked him in the cartoon.
Yeah.
But I liked him in the comic.
I liked him in the JLA run. Mm. That was about it.
His solo series from like 2 years ago was good.
Yeah, I have that and I do want to read that.
Yeah, it's really good. Who was that? That was, what's her name?
Gail Simone.
Yeah, there you go.
As well as she took, what's her name on Marvel? X-Men Assassin, Domino.
Oh, Domino. Oh, yeah, that was great.
I know. And that's a character that I'm just like, ugh. Like, it is so 90s. But I was like, you know what? Everyone was raving about it. I love Gail Simone. Let me try it. And it's like, dang, I went right from one collection right into the next. Because it was like, she breathed modern air or fresh air into a character that just is very one-dimensional.
That's so funny. I had this a similar conversation today with the interview I did for Valiant Central with Chris Hastings. Because when he started doing comics, he started with Deadpool. And he's the guy that, like, created Gwenpool.
Oh, wow. Way to go.
Yeah, so, and now he's doing the new Quantum and Woody book. And we talked about this because, as you know, I hate Deadpool.
Mm-hmm.
And so I told him the story, like, when we set this interview up, I was really worried because, like, here's this guy that worked on Deadpool and Gwenpool, two characters that I don't care for.
But that's what he cut his teeth on.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, the stuff he did was good, right? Like, my thing with, for example, with Gwenpool is, when it's like, she's on every variant cover every fucking month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't care. Like, who the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Right? But then the book comes out and you read it and it's good. And you're like, okay, like, I can forgive some of that. So yeah, anyway, we talked a little bit about getting over that kind of thing. You know what I mean? And just diving in a little bit.
That's why, like, any writer, any good writer can make me care about any character. Like, there could be a Fourth World book that James Robinson does, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm so in.
And
he can sell all of the modern retellings of Fourth World that has been done that I just am not engaged with, but because of his writing a long series of it, guess what? All of a sudden, everything else is a little bit better because of it.
And see, so with Robinson, I had a lot of that because of the Starman thing that he did, the Starman run.
Yeah.
But then, like, some stuff, I'm just like, but this is not as good as Starman.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think you can run into that problem, too.
For sure. For sure. But I'll always give a writer the chance with, like, no character is out of bounds.
Sure.
I just might not, I might pump the brakes a little bit and wait for people that I trust's opinions to come in and be like, no, you need to check out Gail Simone doing Plastic Man, where Plastic Man would not fly off the shelf to me.
Right.
Initially.
Yeah. Yep, I agree, man.
But I will say, sometimes it's the opposite, and I don't know if you've done this, where a grouping of superheroes or villains or a concept is thrown out for a book or a new title, and yet the writer I've never ever connected with, but the pairings that he put together was interesting enough to me to for me to be like, all right, I'm going to give that a shot. Maybe just the first arc. Let's see if his writing finally connects up with me.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened quite a bit because there's a couple writers that I'm thinking of right now, one in particular that everyone else is over the moon with, but he's just never done it for me for whatever reason.
Who's that?
He is a Deadpool writer as well.
Dun-dun-dun.
Jerry Duggan.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he's just never connected with me.
That's funny, actually. So I like, what was that Avengers book that he did? I like that one.
With Old Man Cap?
Oh, yeah. No. That's not it. The one that was like a weekly book. Avengers. Damn it. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
This is the one with like Zeb Wells and.
I don't remember.
The other writers on it?
Yeah, there were a couple. Like, I think Jim Zub was on it and some other people. Anyway, it was a weekly No Surrender. That's it.
Yeah, that was good. Mark Wade was on that.
Yeah, Avengers No Surrender. But like, I really like this. What was that book he did? Shit, I just read it. Analog. Did you read Analog? Do you have Unlimited? Oh, damn it. All right, because it's on Unlimited. I just reread Volume 1 of Analog. It's really good. That's Jerry Duggan. And it's so different from, like, his Marvel stuff.
Okay. Gotcha.
And I was really surprised because, like, it ends up being, like, kind of funny. And I'm like, I was not expecting this out of Jerry Duggan.
That's sort of what I do expect from Jerry Duggan.
Yeah?
Is a funny book. Or a lighthearted type book. I remember he did an Avengers book, and I could swear it was with, like, Old Man Cap. And I tried two volumes of it, and at the end of it, I was just like, oh, my God, I can't go on. I just can't. I don't know where this is going. And it had the same feel of, like, a Deadpool book. Every character talked like that.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. For me, it felt that way.
Oh, boy. It's like when Bendis does Everybody Talks the Same.
Yep.
Anyways, all right, let's wrap it up, Nick.
All right.
You've been listening to the Nerd Leisure Podcast with Nick and Martin. Hello. Goodbye. This is the end of the episode. Thank you for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Nick Wetmore, at Geekvine, at Nerdy Legion. See you on the next one.